You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Today's guest is JC. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Yeah, after years, I guess it's been almost 3 years now of me begging you to come on the show, you've finally agreed to come on.
I appreciate you having me here. You know me. I don't like to, I like to keep it low key.
Yeah. And that's good. And I appreciate that. We all, have to keep up our operational security to some level, but, you know, sometimes you got to step out a little bit and I appreciate you doing that today. So you've got a background in military and law enforcement. Can you tell us a little bit about your resume?
Well, a few years back, I retired from the NYPD as a captain in our emergency service unit. I did 20 years. I was on the street most of the time, and I was very blessed to be a captain with ESU. They are professional, the greatest bunch of guys I ever worked with. They just work hard, train hard. They give of themselves. And when you look at all the different things that you could do after serving 10 or 15 years there, these guys come to ESU where the training is hard and the work is harder. So I was blessed to be part of that. They were really, it was an honor to serve with them.
And then also you were in the U.S. Air Force?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was in the Air Force. I did, I first worked on avionics and then I was in SP, which is security police. But that was a long, long time ago.
Well, so that resume, it sounds, you know what? You sound like one of these guys from one of these like post-apocalyptic EMP books. It seems like every one of those have got somebody like you in there that's in charge of cracking heads.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of those guys seem to get a hard time. Some of them even get tortured and stuff like that. I don't want to be one of those guys.
I hear you. So how does ESU differ from a typical SWAT unit?
In a lot of different ways. A typical SWAT unit does, they're mostly tactics. ESU does everything that a SWAT team would, but we've been around a lot longer. SWAT didn't exist in our country till basically the 60s, the late 60s, in response to that incident in Texas. We did a rescue since 1930. We do all sorts of rescue. We don't just do SWAT. We do rope rescue. We do vehicle extrication. We do train extrications. We do we do just about everything. And a few years back, maybe 10 years ago, the city handed hazmat, all hazmat and weapons of mass destruction to the emergency service unit, which is different. In most places, it's the fire department that handles it. In New York City, so the fire department has the unit. The primary team is the emergency service unit. So we really, we never stop training. Our school is long. The guys are very dedicated, and you never stop learning. You just keep learning and keep working.
You mentioned that your training's ongoing. What are some of the things that you had to do to get into ESU? That's training that's above and beyond the training that you got at the academy.
Oh, well, everyone after, and this is the thing, after 10 or 15 years in the NYPD, a lot of the cops, and rightfully so, they've worked on patrol there 10 or 15 years, and they look for a detail, and that's like a separate job outside of patrol that's a little more comfortable. In ESU, we have a 9-month school, and there's nothing comfortable about it. We have to learn basic, intermediate, and advanced SWAT. We have to learn vehicle extrication, dive rescue, rope, all these things that, you know, you've, for 10 or 15 years, you're an experienced police officer, but it's a whole new ball game. When I got there, I was a captain. And I've been on patrol my whole career, and I knew patrol very well. But I was smart enough, as soon as I walked through the door and saw the mission and the things that had to be done, that I had a lot to learn. So I went through the same school they did, and it was tough. There was nothing easy about it, but it was awesome. The training is intense, but it's very rewarding, and it actually refreshed me a lot. After many years on a job, things would tend to get a little stale. There's never a stale day in the emergency service unit. We had a saying when I got to the academy, they told us that the job isn't for everybody, but that if you do the job right and you put your effort in, it's ringside seats to the greatest show on earth. Well, when you get to ESU, they tell you you now have a backstage pass, and that was certainly true. You definitely see things that most people never even consider.
Some of the things that you've seen probably, well, you've told me some stories just to kind of give everybody a heads up. We're actually doing this in studio today because, as you might have guessed, JC is close by. And so we're doing this in studio. And you've told me some stories. And some of those stories that you've told me, in my mind, represent probably the worst that humanity has to offer. And do you think that if the average Christian had seen some of the things that you've witnessed, do you think they'd be more preparedness-minded?
Absolutely, without a doubt. But it's a shame because you don't really need to live the life I've lived or have the job that I've had or any others that are comparable. You know, the Bible warns us and tells us, what people are capable of. In Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means everybody. It says, let God be true, but every man a liar. That means everybody. The Bible's true and we're not. But obviously experiencing things tends to be a better teacher than reading things. So I would recommend that everybody read your Bibles and live it. The things that, people in the military see or people on my job see, some people it makes them a little bitter. It didn't have that effect on me even before I was saved. I was very blessed to be thankful. I've always been grateful, and I'm much more grateful now since I've been saved and much more grateful now. I have so much more to be thankful for. But I was always thankful that the things that I saw, that wasn't my life. I'd go home at the end of the day and I had a good American life, whereas a lot of people didn't. And they needed people like that wanted to step up. My guys, always the feeling I got from them most of the time and what I saw for many years is these police officers get a bum rap today. My guys, I loved working with that unit. They always gave them themselves. They never were looking to go home early. They never had that attitude you see on TV. They're always looking to go the extra mile for anybody. And I think that's a key thing that people don't see. Cops, we're not all like how they portray on TV. You get bad apples here and there, but for the most part, it's a tough job and the guys do it good.
What are your thoughts on the Vegas shooting? It seems like these types of incidents are getting worse and they're occurring a little more often. Do you think that's a symptom of America's moral decay?
Yeah, that's part of the problem. I'm the first of my family born in this country, and I love this country. I served under Ronald Reagan. You have freedom. You have liberty. You can do what you want. You're only limited by your own limitations, not by anybody else. And it seems like we are heading on a downhill slide, and it's of our own making. The powers that be today just simply can't be trusted. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen when they teach you that we're an accident? We have no purpose in this universe. We're a cosmic accident, which is such a lie. You have to be, if you scratch the surface of these science books or these things they tell us, you'd see evolution is impossible. But that's what they teach our kids. They teach us that they're just animals with bigger brains. And I think these Vegas things are going to happen more and more. But with this particular incident, there's something fishy going on here. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. I read a book once and I don't remember. It said that there's only two types of history, accidental history and conspiracy history, meaning that you could believe that everything happens by accident or you could believe that somebody's guiding things. And we all know that the powers that be like to get their own way. We've seen it, you can see it just watching the news. Two sides tell two different things. They have an agenda. And I think with Vegas, we're not getting all the answers. There seems to be nothing coming out. The witness that got shot was supposedly going to show up on Hannity, and then he shows up on Ellen DeGeneres, which happens to have a vested interest in that hotel. There's just so much going on here that they're not telling us, and I don't know if we're ever going to know, because that's the way things are now. The powers that be think we're dummies. They can't tell us They want to guide things their own way. They want to make up their own story, and they want us to just follow like sheep. And the only way I'm going to be a sheep is a sheep for the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of him, you have to protect your family, and you got to be smart. You got to read your Bible and know what's going on.
You made a really good point about evolution, because it doesn't lack a theological principle. It's pushing an atheistic worldview. Isn't that right? I mean, we've been four decades in the public school systems where that's not been countered by any type of Bible teaching, and prayer's been pulled out of school. And so four decades, we've been sowing the seed of atheism, of an atheistic worldview, pushed through the lie of evolution. And so we're reaping what we've sown. Is that right? You think so?
Absolutely. And I believe Christians are partially to blame. We don't stand up for our beliefs. We want to be liked by everybody. From a little kid, my dad used to tell me, you know, if everybody likes you, you're doing something wrong. You know, you have to do right. And it seems like being liked or not being called a name is more important today than doing right. Evolution, all you got to do is look at it. It's impossible. It's mathematically impossible. It's nonsense. If you read their books, you know, they love Darwin. Has anybody ever read his book? It seems like everything they say, they haven't read it. He said, if you never find any fossil records, multiple, tons of them, to prove this, that then I'm wrong. Well, it's 125, 150 years later, and there's absolutely no proof in the fossil record. When Darwin wrote his book, they thought the inside of a cell was a blob they called cytoplasm. We know today that there's DNA with so much information, so many things in there that just cannot happen by accident, and people just go along with it. Let them teach my kids that in my school. It's madness. Our country has lost its mind. I saw a video the other day, and it was such an uproar. It was on YouTube, and it was a video about these knuckleheads that were dragging a shark behind a boat. I mean, there's no need to do something like that. The guys are definitely jerks, but I want to remind everybody here, a shark is a fish. It's a fish. It's food. It's a fish. Now, I don't believe in hurting anything that don't have it coming. But here's the thing. You should have read all the responses. The absolute amount of people that were simply appalled by that. And I made one comment. I said, where is your anger towards killing babies? Where is your anger towards abortion? We've become a nation that we're so idiotic. And I don't know a better word. It's idiotic. It's stupid. You can't use kind words for this. That we value a fish over a baby. Listen, if that doesn't tell you something's wrong, I don't know what can. I mean, that's just absolute sheer lunacy. We're killing our future. We're killing our children. That's a disgusting affront to the Lord. That's just madness. It's just madness. And here, it's just unbelievable. That's what they teach in our schools. And then they wonder why, you know, you have mass shootings, or you have kids that commit suicide, or all these horrors that happen in the world, in the country. Why do you think? They're taught they're animals. They're taught there's no future. There's no purpose. There's no true right and wrong. That it's only up to you to decide that. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. Right and wrong is decided by God, and he tells us about it in the Bible, and we're supposed to live by it. And sooner or later, we pay. Either we pay here or we pay later. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. The Lord Jesus Christ paid. It's very simple. Salvation is simple. I don't call myself religious. I'm quite the opposite. Our faith is so different from everybody else. If you want to pay, you could pay. But the Lord Jesus paid. So you pick. It's really simple. And let me tell you, all of this that's going on in the world, dig a little bit. I ask you, if you're out there and you're a Christian, or you're wondering and you know something's wrong out there, dig. It's out there. The truth is out there for you to find it. This isn't, you know, the X-Files. The truth is in the Bible, and it's right in front of you. You could read these textbooks and see how they lie to you repeatedly. They'll tell you things every time you get to a point where something important has to change, whether it's evolution or whatever science they want to talk about. They'll say, well, we assume this, or we believe this to have happened, or many scientists say. What is that? Since when does truth get a vote? It's just madness. And I think it's going to get worse, because I think the powers that be want things to get worse. And they don't want us strong. They don't want us educated. They don't want us armed. I mean, it's obvious. Everybody listening here that listens to Mark knows the truth of this, I would imagine. The only thing I would recommend you more, prepare as much as you can. People today that don't prepare, and I'm not just talking about for these huge events or like his awesome books where the end of the world could come. I'm talking about, look at just in this last few weeks, you have the fires out in California, crazy. You have Houston underwater. You have Puerto Rico. The entirety of Puerto Rico is going to be without power for who knows how many months. Imagine if that island did not have the whole United States of America sending them stuff. What would be going on there right now? I don't think people think about that. They think this is no big deal. It's a huge deal for Puerto Rico, obviously. And if Puerto Rico didn't have outside help, what would happen? It would be mass casualties because where would they be getting their water from? Where would they be getting their food from with the power out? You have to take care of your family. You have to take care of yourself. You have to be smart. You have to have food. You have to have water. You have to be armed and know how to use them. You just have to use common sense and be prepared because it's our responsibility to take care of our families.
You made a really good point about the lack of outrage for the 3,288 children murdered every single day in abortion mills, which eclipses the number of people that died in 9/11, Sandy Hook, and the Vegas shooting. You put all three of those incidents together, it still doesn't total up to 3,288 if you're talking about the direct casualties of those three incidents. And yet, like you said, there's no outrage for that. I will remind everybody that coming up in January is March for Life. They've got one in D.C. They've got one in several cities around America in the second or third week of January because that's the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And we did a small one in our town last year, and it was probably about 50% Catholics. That's one of the things that they do, that the Protestant church is so sorrowfully lacking in. And I just have to wonder if this all goes back to the pulpit. Is this passive nature of Christians? Is that coming from the pulpits of America? Why do people think that? Because I don't think it's in the Bible.
Listen, I believe that a good pastor that's faithful to the word and faithful to his flock is worth his weight in gold. And there's still a few out there. You and me both talk about that, and we have people that we trust. But the truth of the matter is, I believe the where we are as a nation rests in the pulpits of our nation. It rests right there. They are scared. They're running scared. They don't want to be called crazy. I'm going to give you a perfect example. All through the Bible, you see street preaching. How come people that preach on the street I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians that not like these psychos over at Westboro. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians that go out there and speak the gospel publicly. Your pastors are telling you not to do that. Your pastors are running scared because why? Not because it's not biblical. It is biblical, but because they don't want their tithers or their nominal Christians or their people that just fill their pews to leave. They don't want them to leave. And it's absolute madness. We're insane now. Just so we were talking a second ago about, look at what happens in Vegas. What's the first thing they come out? Well, let's get rid of something to do with gun control. Listen, does it take a brain surgeon to realize if there was a man, a good guy with a gun anywhere near that would have ended much quicker? Does it take a rocket scientist to figure that out? Does it take a billion years of evolution to grow a brain to figure that out? You got to be out of your mind. You got to be out of your mind to want to take guns out of the hands of the decent people and think you're going to prevent bad things from happening. Tell me that in Chicago. Who walks around in Chicago nowadays? Look at how many people get shot and killed every day, and they have the tightest gun control in the nation. How come in France, which has all that gun control, look at what those Muslim terrorists did. They seem to get AKs no matter what. And yet the poor French people walking around are just, they're bullet catchers. Because that's what our governments want us to be. Because they're protected. You're not going to see our government officials. You're going to see Obama and everybody else with their security detail, guns. They're going to be well protected. But they want regular people like you and me just suck it up. It's madness.
We're going to take a quick break.
and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. And you mentioned Puerto Rico and what a mess it is down there. One of the main concerns is in a disaster of that magnitude is security. Talk to us a little bit about securing your home after a large-scale disaster. What are some things folks can do now to get prepared for something like that?
Well, obviously, you know, you want to have extra food and extra water, because if you don't have that, you're not going to last too long. So food and water are key. You want to have a handgun, a rifle, whatever you can get of weapons. I'm not saying you don't need 30,000. Get whatever you could be proficient at. I'm a big fan of the 9mm, because you could have a Glock 19, you have a hollow point, 15 round magazine. That's a lot of ammunition. It's a very do-it-all type of round. Get an AR-15, be armed and ready to not only to defend yourselves, but maybe you're going to be called out to defend your neighbors. If you have your windows blocked up, if you have your shutters up after a storm and things are bad, don't take them down right away. That makes it a little more difficult to get in your house. I know it's going to be hot, especially in a place like Puerto Rico or here in Florida, but keep it up for a while till you know what's going on. And if you have decent neighbors, you know, stay in touch with each other. Make sure you each know what you have, if you could trust them, know what you have and help each other out. Because when things get really bad, it doesn't matter how well prepared you are. If you're all by yourself, you're not going to last too long.
And back to Vegas, what advice do you have for folks caught in a mass casualty active shooter scenario like that one? Do you run? Do you hide? What's the best course of action for that scenario?
That one, the Vegas one's a tough one, because one, do you know where the shots are coming from? Two, if you're in a concert, and a lot of concerts, you make sure you're not armed. So if you're in a place where you're unarmed and there's really nothing you could do, I would say find cover and protect whoever you're with. There's not much else you could do. If you get a chance to help somebody and drag them to safety, do so. But if you don't even know where the shots are coming from and there's nothing you could do, I saw some of those YouTube channels and some of those people were just out of their marbles. What are you going to do? You just run at the guy? Are you going to climb the building? There's not much you could do. On the flip side of that, things like that can happen in a movie theater. They could happen in a mall. If you're armed and you've been practicing with your weapon, you could end that pretty quickly. A good guy with a gun is still and will always be the number one thing that stops a bad guy with a gun. No matter what anybody says, no matter what spectrum of politics you believe, that's just truth. So if the best thing you can do for yourself, carry a weapon. If you could have concealed carry in your state, do so. Do so responsibly. Train with it. Make sure you keep it safe in the home. Responsible gun ownership is the way to go. We're responsible when we drive. We don't drink when we drive. You know, we take care of our cars. We make sure they're serviced. That's how a firearm should be more so. You got to clean it. You got to take care of it. You got to know how to use it. You got to do malfunction drills to make sure you know what to do when it's supposed to go bang and it goes click instead, because that's a bad day. So just practice, be prepared. And hopefully you never have to face anything like that, because really that's a no-win situation. When you got a sniper who's bearing down on you and you're just having there a good time, and you don't know what's going on, there's not much you could do.
In those malfunction drills, the way you do that is you just take an empty shell and you bury it in the magazine along with all the regular shells, and you just go out to the your range or wherever you're at and you just shoot until you hit it and then you practice clearing it. Is that how you practice those?
Yeah, there's a few different drills. There's ones for a revolver and there's one for a semi-automatic. For semi-automatic, the basic the first one is tap, rack, bang. You tap the magazine, make sure it's seated. You rack a new round, and then you shoot. if you have to. I think they changed that now in training to tap rack covers because you don't automatically shoot, which is a good idea. When it's a more advanced malfunction, a secondary malfunction on a semi-automatic, and there's, let's say the projectile is stuck in there, you want to rip the magazine out. You want to work the slide repeatedly till it comes out. Then you want to reinsert the magazine, rack it, and then you're ready to go. You have to practice that. A good way to do it, like Mark, like you just said, is let's say you have a 15-round magazine. Throw 4 or 5 empty casings in there and just shoot. And when it goes click, you take care of it. You practice those drills. With the handgun, I like doing it with a revolver. It doesn't matter how long you've been shooting. If you don't shoot for a while, it's a very perishable skill. And when you shoot, you anticipate that the fire and you jerk it. And that could throw off your aim. One of the things I've always liked to practice, and I practice with my kids, is you put dummy rounds in there, even with the revolver, and I watch and make sure they practice doing that so they learn not to jerk the gun. Again, all of this, you want to prepare for this ahead of time. You want to know how to use your firearm. You want to have water. You want to have food. You want to know how to communicate. All these things, honestly, at first, it might seem a little daunting if you've never done this, but it's just a little at a time. And look at how much time we spend on TV. We spend reading magazines or newspapers or watching Hannity or whoever. That's a lot of time wasted. You can entertain yourself because digging through this stuff and trying to figure it out and learning about it is actually pretty interesting. And you'd be better prepared. You could prepare your family. You could teach them. And God forbid, you know, I hope nobody ever has to face anything like that. But if it does, man, what a different outcome it could be if you're ready for it.
And I guess one of the lessons we just learned from the Vegas shooting is that if there's some particular toy out there that you want for your survival, I shouldn't call it a toy because it's a tool for your survival, and it may be the difference between your life or your family's life and a horrible, horrible death. A lot of people they're going to trust Jesus. They don't trust Jesus with their life insurance or their retirement or their car insurance or fire insurance with their house or anything like that. But when the end of the world comes, they're planning on trusting Jesus. One of the things we learned is that if there's a particular tool out there that you think you need, now's the time to get it because you're one incident away from, you know, now it's probably impossible to ever get a bump stock now. You might be able to find one on Arms List for $2,000 or $3,000. And of course, that's what we saw after Sandy Hook, and AR-15, AK-47s were $2,000 or $3,000 after that incident. And there were no magazines. It took almost a year for the ammunition market to catch up to the sales after that incident. And these types of things, you know, you're sitting around one day, twiddling your thumbs, you check Drudge Report, and there's the incident. And then you go over to, you know, bulkammo.com or, Bud's Guns or wherever it is that you buy your guns and ammo from. And that's it. The market's dried up. Everything's gone. And whatever you have that's what you have for the rest of your life. And it can happen that fast. And we've seen it time and time again. We've had some warnings with the guns and ammo and 30 round magazines. I don't know if this is a warning on bump stocks or if that's it, because, you know, now you've got the Republicans even, on the war path over bump stocks.
Republicans? So, who are they?
Well, not real Republicans and not real conservatives, but the Paul Ryans and the, McCains and them, they're ready to take action. Yeah. Yeah. The rhinos. Republicans in name only, and they're on the war path to take away bump stocks. So those may be gone for good now, but you can still get a 30 round magazine. You can still get 1,000 rounds of ammo, and you can still get an AK and an AR. Which, you know, if you've got the money, why not diversify? That's what a lot of stock investors recommend is diversification. So if you've got it and you can afford one of each, why not?
They want it sooner or later. And I know people have a hard time with this. And I know you vote one way or vote another. They will eventually try to take your guns, period. It's just a matter of time. Listen, my situation ain't too bad. I mean, I grew up in Queens and the culture there is very much nobody had a gun. I don't like that culture. I had one because I was on, in the NYPD, and I felt very comfortable having one. I was responsible with it. But my life has changed now, and not everybody has. I'm basically in the middle of nowhere. I got cows, chickens, pigs. I know it doesn't sound from my voice that I would have things like that, but I like the quiet life, and I like rural America. I like it here in Florida. Don't bother anybody, and I don't want to be bothered. Most of America doesn't have that option. A lot of America is in a city. A lot of America, you have to be prepared. Have a weapon. There's nothing wrong with having a weapon. You have to be careful. If you have kids, again, responsible ownership of guns is key. But understand, sooner or later, they're going to come for them. These people that vote, listen, our entire government, listen, that isn't George Washington up there now. You know, nobody in our military now is going to want to cross a cold river to do anything. They're very comfortable in their ways. They're more, instead of, American senators, they tend to act like Roman senators. I don't know how when it happened, but now we work for them instead of them working for us. And they'll lie. They do whatever they want. There's not a truth teller among them. Look at how many times they voted, say, oh, we're going to get rid of Obamacare. We're going to get rid of Obamacare. How many times did they say that to us? Where is it? Have you seen their last few votes? They lied. Does that surprise anyone? What did God say? Let God be true, but every man a liar. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. You have to take care of your family.
Back to active shooter incidents. Obviously, paramedics, they're not allowed onto the scene until the threat's been neutralized. I know that NYPD ESU carries blood stopper kits and several other medical things in there in the truck. Would you recommend that folks keep some high-end first aid equipment, maybe Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, tourniquet, some stuff like that? Should you have stuff like that in your car? Because could you be in the zone of an active shooter scenario that EMS is not able to get to you until the SWAT or ESU or whoever it happens to be, agency it happens to be, until they've been able to neutralize the threat? And that could be 20, 30 minutes if you've got somebody in a high rise like that where they can't get to him for an extended period of time. And, you could easily bleed out from something that could have, been stopped by a simple piece of equipment like that. Would you agree?
I would keep that in my car and in my home. You never know. It doesn't have to be a major incident like that. You could have an accident on the way home from work in your car and you get a piece of that car somewhere stuck in one of your arteries. You better do something quick, because by the time EMS gets there, you're dead a long time. You tourniquet it up first, and then you put some of that blood stopper on it. See, but that's the thing. We live today for, you know, what are the odds? Well, you know, I didn't have an accident for like 20 years, and then in the last 6 months, I've had two. That's just the way things go. You never know. Luckily, nobody was seriously hurt, but I've seen so many people seriously hurt in accidents. Like I said, we used to do vehicle extrications, cutting people out of the cars. You would be amazed. Everybody in these major incidents, they all say the same thing. Man, I never thought this could happen to me. But it did. And if it happens to you, you want to be ready. You really do. And it could be the difference between, wow, that was a bad day, and you telling an interesting story a week later, or people talking about you in the past. It's that important. Preparation is important. There's people today, I don't know if you mind me going into this right now, especially Christians, some are pre-trib, some are post-trib. I happen to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how I read it in my King James Bible. But I hear people that believe the same doctrine that I do say, don't worry about anything, because before things get really bad, you know, we're going to get raptured. Really? Would you tell that to a North Korean Christian? How about a Christian in Iran or China? We don't think sometimes, because the truth is, most of us here in America, we're comfortable. We get complacent. It's human nature, unfortunately. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ can return at any moment. But if he doesn't, there's nothing in that book, and I've read it cover to cover numerous times, there's nothing in my King James Bible that says that America still has to be here when he comes back. There's nothing that says that the economy has to stay the same. Nothing at all says that we're going to be okay here, nice and cozy with our McDonald's and Netflix until the Lord comes back. So we have to prepare. We have to prepare so we can take care of our families, we can take care of ourselves, and we can tell whoever's left about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with JC. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
The Days of Elijah, Book 3, Angel of the Abyss, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. Everett and Courtney Carroll have endured to the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. The previous seal and trumpet judgments have left the planet in shambles, and the Western Hemisphere is nearly uninhabitable. The prophet Elijah gives Everett a special mission, which will give him a unique role in fulfilling end times prophecy. But he'll have to survive the coming cataclysms first. Angelo Luz breaks the treaty he made with the nations, declaring himself to be God. A plague of stinging locusts rises up from the smoke of the bottomless pit, and a 200 million man army of radical jihadists wages a holy war against humanity itself. Everett and Courtney's tribulations thus far have been a walk in the park compared to what's coming. Get your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 3, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, from Amazon.com today.